Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
And now, back by popular demand, Pastor Brad Brisson.
Thank you, Pastor Frank. Appreciate those kind words. Good evening. I did it. I've been saying good morning for 3 months. Well, welcome to Abbot Loop Community Church. Thank you for being here. Some of you are perhaps new. Some of you have been here for a very long time, somewhere in between. But we are a family, and families go through stuff, don't they? Families go through seasons and times of growth and change and uncertainty. But we always know that God is a God of order. God is a God of purpose. And we know that God is up to something good. Amen. Would you all just please pray with me as we continue on today? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have to call you our Father. Thank you for the privilege that it is to be called your children, your sons and your daughters. Thank you, God, for the privilege that it is to be brothers and sisters and to be part of a family that spans the entire globe, but especially to be a part of a local church family, persons who know one another and walk through life together and share life with each other. Thank you that you've drawn us to this church, to this community. Thank you that you've drawn us together as a family. And I pray that you continue to bless this church and strengthen this church and cause us to grow spiritually and in any other way that you desire, Father. We just thank you for your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For the past couple of weeks, Pastor Mick Drick has been speaking and teaching from his amazing teacher's gift about how to study the Bible and methods of Bible study and interpretation. And he finally concluded his series on applying the scripture. Knowing the truth is one thing, but living the truth is something quite different. We can know the truth and not really walk in the truth. And one of the things that I've given a lot of thought to and consideration to over the years is making sure that what we believe as believers, as followers of Christ, what we understand from God's word, how we apply that in our daily lives and how we interact with persons that we work with in our community. Persons that we have, that we share neighborhoods with, persons that are parts of our family, our extended family that don't know Christ yet. It's always interesting to me that we're kind of in a unique place. As Christian people, as followers of Christ, we're a part of a kingdom. We're a part of a kingdom within a kingdom. We're a part of a family within a community. We're a part of a community within a community. And there's certain aspects of what it means to be a follower of Christ that is unique for us. We're basically foreigners in a foreign land. We're like aliens. This is not our final destination. We're just passing through. And so it's important for us to keep that in mind from time to time. And many times I think about the idea that our whole existence as the people of God, as the followers of Christ, is really unique because our lives are a paradox. And for those of you that don't immediately quickly recognize the word paradox, I brought along a handy definition. It's exhibiting inexplicable or contradictory aspects. And you all knew I was going to say that, didn't you? A paradox is something happened that you weren't expecting to happen. It's taken from a Greek word, paradoxus, and it's conflicting with your expectation. Well, I expected that God was going to do this, and now I see just the opposite happening. It's contrary to opinion or expectation. And sometimes people expect us to work, they expect us to behave a certain way because we're followers of Christ. And sometimes we are a paradox. We don't behave the way they expected us to behave. Anybody ever apologize to you for certain language that they use? Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot you're a Christian. Or they'll say, oh, you don't work on Sunday. Or they have some kind of understanding or expectation of what you're like as a follower of Christ. Anybody ever experienced anything like that? Yeah. Doesn't that make you feel a little odd? Is it like, you know, anyway, to me it seems a little different, but Jesus' life was a paradox. The followers of Christ were expecting certain things to happen that didn't happen. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people, the church leaders of the day were expecting something of Jesus that didn't happen. Oftentimes he would say things and do things that people did not expect. He would stop and hold up the whole mass and sit down and hold a child for just a moment. They weren't expecting that. Or he'd turn around and he'd stop and say, who touched me? And they're saying, there's thousands of people here. You know, or he would multiply bread and fish and feed a multitude. He would do things that people didn't expect. He did strange and wonderful things. Okay, if you want to turn with you in your Bibles, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. I want to read an account here just to illustrate a little bit about what I'm saying about Jesus' life was a paradox. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 17, it says, one day he was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem and were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. They had a special meeting, and there was a special anointing there at that particular meeting. The power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. And some men carrying a paralytic on a mat tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. So you can imagine, like, this room was packed out, standing room only. These guys pull up in the parking lot, and they got this guy on a mat out in the parking lot. They can't get in. Okay? Just imagine that with me for just a moment. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. So Jesus is teaching, and all of a sudden you hear this crack and crunch and thunder and pieces breaking off, and sunlight comes through and a hole opens up, and they start lowering this guy down, and he's right in front of Jesus. So the whole crowd is watching Jesus teaching, and this guy is lowered down right in front of them. Okay, that would be kind of not what you'd expect. And so right in front of Jesus, Jesus saw their faith, those four guys that lowered him down. And he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Not what they were expecting. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law knew right away, this is not what we were expecting him to say. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow and who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus was essentially saying, I have the power to forgive this man his sins. So there's smoke coming out of these guys' ears. They're going, what? That's not what we expected. Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? It's easy to say your sins are forgiven, and then they pull him back up through the hole. But then Jesus says, get up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, which was really cool because they had lowered him down right in the front, so everybody in the whole place had a first front row seat. He stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. And they were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. The word remarkable is paradoxus. We've seen things today we didn't expect to see today. We saw things today that were contrary to what we would have believed. We saw things today that kind of went beyond the contradictions of what we had understood. Jesus now is saying he has the power to forgive sins. He has the power to raise a paralytic. He blew the smoke out of the ears of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He did something that conflicted with their expectation. When he said that the young man's sins were forgiven, he was basically saying he was able to do that.
But what he did by not only forgiving the man of his sins, but also healing him, was contrary to their opinions. It was strange, it was wonderful, and it was remarkable. It was not what they were expecting. And during his life, Jesus did not do as people expected. He didn't fulfill the role that they were expecting of a Messiah. When he said, I have come to build a kingdom on this earth, I have come to bring the kingdom of God, they had an expectation of what he was going to do. He did not do as they expected. His life was contrary to how other leaders lived. Those Pharisees and those teachers of the law, their lives were an exact opposite of the way he lived his life as a leader. He was not like religious leaders at all. In fact, he demonstrated for them the paradox of what a leader really is. In John's Gospel, chapter 13, Jesus took it upon himself to wash the feet of his 12 closest followers. He washed the disciples' feet, and he said to them, I have come to show you a paradox. This is what it means to lead. To lead is to take the lowest place and to wash the feet of those that you're leading. He said in John chapter 13, verse 15, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. He just washed their feet. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. It was a paradox. The leaders, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees did not lead like that. They did not lead as a servant. They always had the highest seats, the best robes, and everything was very, very different for them. He taught how to give with humility. In Matthew's gospel, he was giving an example about how people give or how they were giving in those days. He said, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. Like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they would say, it's time to give. It's time to give an offering. I'm going to give an offering bigger than all the rest of you guys. You know, he says, you don't need to give that way to call attention to yourself, to show everybody how holy you are because you give. He said, don't do it as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. They give so that people will see them giving. They're going, whoa, he's giving a whole sack of gold. He says, I tell you the truth, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father sees what is done in secret. He will reward you. You're giving not to be seen of men, but men do see you when you give. But you're giving with humility. You're giving to the needy because it's the right thing to do, not so that other men will honor you for that. He taught that if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, it means that you have to be the greatest servant. And he was explaining to his disciples one day as they were walking along approaching Jerusalem, he's explaining to them what's about to take place. He's going to get arrested. He's going to get crucified. He's going to die on a cross for the sins of the world. And he's in the process of explaining this to his disciples. And while he's explaining to them that he's going to go and die for them, they get into an argument over who is the best among the group. That's a little paradoxus right there. A dispute, this is Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus is on his way to die for them, and they're going, I think I'm a little greater than you are. No, 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 I'm greater than you are because I've been with him longer. And I'm taller than you. I mean, they're trying to decide who's the greatest among them. Whew. It's amazing the patience that Jesus had with his followers. But you are not to be like that, he said. The greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who's at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who's at the table? And listen to what he said. But I am among you as one who serves. So he showed them that the greatest greatness is shown by the greatest sacrifice, the greatest amount of serving. He taught them that if you really wanted to find a life of purpose, if you really wanted to find a life of value, a life of satisfaction, a life that meant something, you have to give up what you want in order to please God. He said in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, he called the crowd to to him along with the disciples, and he said, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, if anyone would pursue me, you have to give up your own desires in order to do that. You have to take up your cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life, his own selfish desires, his own purposes, his own ideas, he says, if you want to save that, you'll lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will, in fact, save it. It's a paradox. Giving up your life in order to find life. It's a paradox. In order to lead, you serve. It's a paradox. In order to give to the needy, you do it with humility. To be great, you become a servant. He taught that true love was sacrificial. He introduced an idea to them. He said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. He demonstrated his love for them. And then he said, you are to love one another this way. And he said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the greatest example of a paradox. Laying down your life for your friends. He taught that when you give, your needs will be met. There's a lot of nervousness in our culture today about how things are going to go financially. And we feel like we have to kind of hang on to every penny and every nickel because we're concerned about the economic situation in our world. It is a concern. There's a lot of chaos in our financial world all across the globe. Europe is about on the verge of collapse. Our own United States is in a lot of difficulty financially. And there's a tendency to protect and provide for ourselves, to hang on to everything. But the Bible says, Jesus taught that when you give, your needs will be met. Given, it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That doesn't make sense. That's a contradiction. You should give if you are needy. Because as you give, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Another thing that Jesus taught that's a paradox to us, he says, forgive others as you've been forgiven. And if you forgive others their trespasses, you in turn will be forgiven for your trespasses. So basically, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So the whole life of Jesus was a paradox. He was a king born in a stable. He lived a sinless life and died and gave his life for the sins of mankind as a criminal on a cross. His life was a paradox, and his life was an example for us. And our lives are supposed to be a paradox. The way we live our lives, the way we apply the scriptures, the way we apply what we learn about biblical principles should be contrary to what people think about us. We should not fit the world system like everyone else fits the world system. There should be something so different about the way we live our lives that we should be a paradox. Our lives should represent the same values that Jesus Christ did. We are called to follow Christ and to receive salvation in faith for what he has done for us, not what we've done. But we are to show the world leadership is done not by controlling others, but rather serving them. That's a paradox. People who are in positions of management and leadership in organizations feel a pressure to control and manipulate other people. Jesus said the principle of leadership is not controlling, it's serving. Our lives are to be characterized by serving others, both Christians and non-Christians. Sometimes we say, well, the people in the world don't really care for the Christians. Well, one of the things that some researchers have found is that Christians don't really care for people. We keep saying, oh, it's all those wicked sinners out there, they hate us because we're Christians. Well, some polls have been done recently. They found out a lot of people in the church are saying, we don't really like those people out there. Wow. That's going to be kind of hard to spread the gospel when you don't like people. It's a paradox. If we truly want to find a life that's worth living and will truly be fulfilled, it comes by living the life for the Lord and his purposes and not for our very own. It's pursuing what God wants for us, not what we want for ourselves. We need to be willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And our lives need to be characterized by generous giving with humility. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are believers. We are his hands and feet extended to the world. And as Jesus came to this world, so he sent us into this world. When someone finds out that you're a Christian, are they surprised? Is your life a contradiction? Is your life something that they weren't expecting? Or do they say, I always thought there was something about you? When people find out that we're followers of Christ, there should be something so real about our lives that they say, I knew there was something different about you, and now I understand. God has called us to live a life that is a life of paradox, not fulfilling the expectations of the world, but fulfilling following the example in the model of Christ himself. But I think sometimes there are Christian people that live the wrong kind of paradox. I think that for some, the fact that they blend in so well with the world that they're a walking paradox. They're a paradox of the wrong kind. It's like, I thought you guys didn't do that sort of thing. I thought you guys were kind of forgiving. I thought you guys were kind of not very critical or judgmental. I thought you guys were more generous. I thought, you know, if we're walking just the way that the world is, then we're a walking contradiction. And so God's encouragement to us is examining our hearts and making sure we're not walking in the wrong kind of paradox. We should be so radically different because we're followers of Christ. We have eternity in our hearts. We know the King of Kings. Our sins have been forgiven. We should be genuinely joyful, peaceful people. We shouldn't be just like everybody else, standing around the water cooler in the office complaining about the president. We should be different than that. We should be praying for the president. We should be praying for the next president, whoever that'll be. Please. We should live like we have an understanding about what's really important in life. Our lives ought to be characterized by doing good, by sharing with others. We should live so differently that the rest of the world sees our lives and they notice that we are a paradox. We're not like other people. We don't do as other people anticipate. We're different. Some Christ followers get stuck in between living worldly and living a life of adventure but the world is watching our lives and they expect us to be just like them. They want us to be just like them because when we're different than them, it puts them under conviction because we're not running to the same things that they're running to. Sometimes it seems that the world expects church leaders to lack integrity. They expect church leaders to be heavy-handed towards people. They expect church leaders to not conduct themselves in a way that would bring honor and glory and integrity. It's like sometimes the world isn't shocked anymore when the leader falls. That's a tragedy. It should be so rare that it's just an apparition or something. It should be so unusual. So here's the paradox. Church leaders, pastors, elders, small group leaders, volunteers, children's ministry, nursery workers, youth workers. We need to show the world, we need to show the church what it means to be a servant leader. We need to demonstrate that to each other and to people who come to our church. We need to show people what it means to be a servant leader. It's time for a real leadership to rise up among Christians and show the world what it means to be a leader by serving them. To live a paradox is to not live the way the world expects you to live. They expect us to fail. Let's walk with integrity and outlive our critics. By the grace of God, we'll finish our course and we'll be the kind of leaders that honor God because we love him and we love people throughout our life. And at the end of our life, we can say, I still love God and I still love his people. The world expects to be recognized for giving. They want receipts and tax breaks, and it's okay to get a tax break. It's okay to get a receipt. But people want notoriety. They want a pew named after them. They want a wing of a building named after them. They want to have a field named after them. They want notoriety for what they've given. The paradox for the Christians is that we should give without expecting anything in return. We should give just because it's the right thing to do. We should give regularly with humility and generosity and liberally. The paradox is that the church would have all that it needs to carry out all the ministries that we feel that God has put on our hearts if all of us gave genuinely and generously with humility. The world rewards those who live for themselves. There's such an emphasis today on being a celebrity. That 15 minutes of fame, that you're known for something. You didn't get voted off the island. You're the best dancer. You're the best bachelorette. You're the best whatever. I mean, there's the celebrity. You're the best American Idol or the American, you know, God figure, whatever. But there's all this pressure for celebrityism. But you don't hear much about promoting being a hero. Heroes are somebody who does something. Celebrities are someone who's just known. Doesn't take much to be known. You can do something really stupid and be known. But it takes an act of heroism to do something for somebody else and not care if you get the credit. That's a hero. Somebody who's willing to lay down their life. That's a paradox. You hear people who are rewarded for acts of heroism. They say, I just do whatever, what anybody else would do in that situation. I just risk my life to help this person. The world doesn't expect you to forgive them. They expect you to hold grudges. They expect you to not forgive. I'm amazed at how long people can hold a grudge. I mean, decades. It's a paradox. How can you hold on to something like that? The paradox is, if we want to be forgiven, we must forgive others. The world doesn't expect us to stay married. They expect that half of all the people in the church who get married will end in divorce. They expect that because that's what the statistics say. They don't expect you to make it to your whatever anniversary. The world does not expect us to stay married. Do you know that? They have statistics saying that the statistics in the church are the same as the other. They don't expect us to be any different. Why is that? God bless you if you've ever been through a divorce. I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm saying that there's something that the church needs to be able to show the world. We need to live in a way that's an alternative to the world system. We need to live a life that's a paradox, paradoxically in every area. The world doesn't expect families to enjoy their children. They look for ways that they can put their children in programs, in clubs, in after-school things, because they want to get the little rascals out of the house. But the world needs to see families that love their children. They don't neglect their children. They don't abuse their children. They don't abandon their children. They love their children and they pour out their lives into their children. The world doesn't expect you to wait until you get married to have relationships. They expect people to just follow the world system. But we need to be godly examples in every area of our relationships. So being a paradox, living a life that's a paradox, you're not going to be popular. But we have a call from God to live our lives in such a way that we live contrary to the world's expectations. What we believe about God's word needs to be so real to us that it impacts the way we live. It impacts what we do with our life, what we do with our time, what we do with our money. There needs to be such a real impact in our lives that our lives are a paradox. When people know us, they go, I always knew there was something about you that was different. Now I understand what it is. Can the worship team come back? We're going to take a few minutes and just respond to the Lord in a time of worship. And for myself, I feel challenged in this area a lot. I feel challenged that just because I've walked with the Lord for a while does not mean that I'm out of risk of finishing well. I want to finish well. I want to finish well in my life. I want to finish well in my family. I want to finish well in my ministry. And I'm committed to not being an accomplice to the world system. I want to live as a paradox to the world system. I don't want to live as they expect me to live. I don't want to fulfill their expectations. I want to fulfill God's desire, God's purposes. I'm committed to live a righteous paradox. And I'm challenging us all today to live a righteous paradox so that your life would reflect the teachings in the life and the example of Christ. So that when people get to know you, there's something about you that draws them closer to Jesus. I want to surprise people like Jesus did and not do as they expect. I want to forgive people when everything inside of me says I shouldn't. I want to give to people when everything inside of me says I should keep it for myself. I want to be the kind of leader that leads with humility and not because I'm in a position of responsibility. I want to live my life with passion for God and to be a living, walking paradox in a world that so desperately needs to see that. I want to challenge you to do the same thing. I want to challenge you to servant leadership and humility and not doing what the world expects, but doing what God's word requires. We want to be an example. We want to draw people by the love of God and serve with the love of God. Pursuing God and following Him, don't just settle for being normal. Settle for being supernatural. Would you all stand, please? Heavenly Father, when Jesus walked this earth, He demonstrated how we should be in this earth. And He left us here. He left us an example to follow in His steps. He left us an example of servant leadership. He left us an example of caring for the needy and giving to the poor. He left us an example of walking in humility when we're criticized. He left us an example of what it means to love sacrificially and to give of ourselves. He gave us an example of what greatness comes from laying down your life for the benefit of others. He came and left us an example that the world didn't understand and still to this day doesn't understand. Help us, Father, as followers of Christ, to follow you in every area of our life, Father. I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us grace, Lord, to be an example in every area of our life, Father. Help us to bring glory to you, Lord, by the way we live our lives. And we thank you for the example that you've given to us. Help us, Lord. We need you, Father, to walk out our lives in humility and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you.